Yuri replied, "Let me think now. Well, it should be an example that you can touch. Something that happened 20 years ago and remained a mystery. For example, somebody is in jail, and suddenly the bars dematerialize because he is not really guilty. Now that we can prove these things are possible, somebody in the cast will shout of something like this that happened in history that is like the bars disappearing, and then the people know. They will say, well, if that happened, why shouldn't this happen?" Melanie inquired. "Healing?" I said, "Healing is one of the few things that are safely international." Yuri replied, "We can use examples of things that happened 3,000 years ago, and through that example, tell people that the powers show themselves. I don't know why today the powers don't show themselves. Maybe because people are close-minded. Is there an example of how the pyramids were built? Until today, nobody knows, and all the brilliant people disagree with each other. Well, where is the answer? There is another thing. You see, Andrea, I know you and you know me. I know Shippy and Shippy knows me. Melanie knows me. But nobody really knows anybody. Werner doesn't know me exactly, and I really don't know him. We believe some 60% that we know you, but we don't know this spectra at all, Andrea. But look at the foolish things they are doing. Sometimes they say you definitely must go. And then they change their minds. Andrea, you understand? To us it looks like they are not stable, goddammit. They are so powerful, yet they are not stable. And maybe that unstableness that we think of them. Maybe for them it is nothing. Maybe for them it's just a breath, you know. For them it's nothing, but we feel it, like suddenly for 2 to 4 months we don't receive anything from them because we're not together. Maybe for them it was just turning around, to see something, and back at us again. Maybe for them it was just stopping a computer for a second, a split second, and for us it was a month. Now we don't know their timing, their difference from us, their character. We don't know anything about them. So we're not allowed to. You know, Andrea, Melanie told me once, sometimes I get the feeling, what if all this is a big joke? Andrea, what if they are clowns? What if this whole thing that is happening to us, it's just one little clown that has run away from the king's garden, and he's playing with us because he has those powers? What if it's that? What if it's not at all a big, huge, godlike thing? Well, yes, the powers from Hoover we have. But what if Hoover is just a goddamn little clown that is playing with us? You understand? So we have to be very flexible, very rubberish. I replied quite seriously, we always have to rely on our brains and common sense. Yuri said, yes, and that is what the little clown keeps telling us. Listen, man, I am also that, so be careful. I don't want to ruin your life. That's why you must always use your brain, no matter what Spectra says. Tomorrow I might vanish. Tomorrow you won't have any powers, and we will laugh up here, but you're going to have the dregs. But even if they disappear today, or tomorrow, Andrea, I'm never going to laugh. I'll be satisfied, okay? So I'll go back to some menial job. I'll do whatever I have to do. I'll work. If I have no powers, I'll go back to the export factory. But I will be satisfied with the idea that I lived with them for 2 years, and I knew the truth. And what I know, Andrea, nothing can hurt the truth, and if somebody doesn't believe me, or he laughs, I don't care. I know the truth. I know that I was in straight contact with them. Nothing will change that, and until I die, I will be content that I had these 1, 2, or 3 or 25 years in which I knew that this power exists, and if it is gone now, I know in my heart that it exists, and I know it, and I know that it won't end because when I die I really won't die, I go in a different dimension. And in that dimension, I'll be even more clever than the other guys and gals around me, and maybe in that dimension I have to teach them. Listen, guys, maybe it's that, and that. You understand me, Andrea? So let's really be happy that we're in contact with them. But because things are so, because 1 and 1 is 2, that means, come on, let's have a sign. And suddenly falls something. Let's have a sign, something disappears. That makes me think and believe that they are not so unstable as we think. They have their own ideas, what they want from us, what they need from us, what we need from them, so they won't let us go, like that. But for us, but for them maybe, the world is not really important. Once in a while, I told this to Melanie, that I have the feeling, Andrea, that all we are doing, we are just goddamn slaves for them. They are using us only for their own use. They don't care about the world. They do care about this little group. But to make us a little happy because they are using us, they're throwing us little, little things. Okay, those little things are very big for us, but for them it is nothing. Maybe they only think it. We don't know them, Andrea, we really don't know them, Andrea, I forget, but you know how far away they are. They are so far that no human mind, not yours, not all the scientists together put in one place, can figure out how far away they are. Different dimensions, future, that's completely way out. That's wild. That's crazy that anything could happen. If they are so far in advance, we must be happy that we are in contact with them. I said, but having had that knowledge, that we know that they exist, what does that mean to you? Yuri answered, to my sorrow and to my disappointment, I don't really know. I persisted, but does it not give you the security that everything is lawful, like having a good father and a good house, that everything is properly managed, that nothing is accidental? Yuri said, no, listen. I don't know why they chose us, that to me means an accident, everything is happening to us. But sometimes we ask them, and they give us answers, but the answers change sometimes also. So I figure that we with our human heads, those two little brains we have in our heads, we must work them to get nearer and nearer to the point where we think what they want. It's up to us, really. On October 21st I had an opportunity to question Iz via the tape recorder. I was assured that Uri's idea that the actions of Iz were like a clown in the garden was wrong. I was further advised that it was desirable to have Uri meet as many scientists as possible, but to avoid too deep an involvement in research. I did not understand why we could not devote full time to probing the deep mysteries of the universe through Uri's abilities, and I knew that I would have to come back to this question over and over again until I understood the reason. I had the further impression that Earth scientists were not yet prepared to enter the black void of totally new knowledge. I agreed to release Yasha from his contract with me with respect to his management of Uri. Werner decided to join our team at his own expense. We all agreed to leave Germany and to transfer all personnel and operations to the United States in the near future. Yuri, Shippy and I went from Munich to London on October 30th. In London we stayed at the Royal Garden Hotel, which was then owned by my close friend, Tony Bloomfield. As long as we were in Europe, I wanted Uri to meet some of my scientific colleagues in England. We met with some of them, and a report of this meeting appeared in the New Scientist of November 9, 1972. On the night of October 31 I was sitting alone in my hotel room making notes on the day's events. Yuri and Shippy were in private rooms in another part of the hotel. At midnight my phone rang. Hello, is this Dr. Puharich? Yes, I said. Well, this is Mr. Wilson of Pan Am. We processed your ticket for your flight to the United States on November 1 and resumed your ticket today. Do you have it? Yes, I replied. Well, there is a discrepancy in the ticket. Did you have trouble with the fare structure in Munich? Yes, I replied. Please give me the ticket number, and I will tell X Munich and see if I can straighten out the problem. I gave him the ticket number and hung up. A half hour later, Mr. Wilson called back to say there was a problem with the ticket. Could he come over now to pick it up and get it rewritten by morning? I said okay. I let Mr. Wilson in. He looked at my ticket and mumbled some technical jargon. He assured me that the problem could be ironed out by morning. He asked to take my ticket. I asked for his name and telephone number and a signed receipt. This he did, took my ticket, and parted. Shortly thereafter, I went to sleep. In the morning I called the hall porter and asked about Mr. Wilson. Yuri, who was with me, asked about the call, and I described the events of the past night. He immediately became very alarmed. I didn't want to say anything to you yesterday, but I felt a sense of danger in this room. Was Mr. Wilson dark? Did he look like someone from the Middle East? Well, yes, he did look like he was from the Middle East or Pakistan. That's it, Andrea. Terrorists must have spotted my presence, and they sent someone up to scout the room. If I had been here, he would have tried to kill me, us. Let's go down and talk to the manager. Remember what the terrorists did to the Israelis last month at the Olympics in Munich? He added grimly. I readily agreed. As we stood in the lobby talking to Mr. Ottenzoza, the manager, a man came up to me with a parcel and asked if I was Dr. Puharich. I said that I was. It turned out that he was delivering a movie film that I had arranged to have shipped from New York. It had been held up in customs for 5 days. Yuri took me aside and said, Andrea, that package could be a bomb. Don't accept it. He called over the manager and explained his feeling to him. Mr. Ottenzoza agreed there could be a hazard and called Scotland Yard. Within an hour, we were embroiled with interrogation about Mr. Wilson. The bomb squad was taking the package apart in Kensington Park, and the personnel at the hotel were involved in the case. Nothing happened. The film can was just a film can. Mr. Wilson was not to be found. My ticket was lost. It was decided that since there might be a terrorist threat, we should be moved, and were transferred incognito to another hotel, the White House. One more oddity occurred. At the White House on November 2, 1972, we were quartered in a three-room suite, number 289. I picked up my Tissot watch, with a leather strap, from my night table in my bedroom to check the time. It was exactly 11 a.m. I put the watch down and turned away from it to get a shirt out of my suitcase. Yuri came rushing into my room shouting, a wristwatch just appeared on my wrist. There on his left wrist, fully strapped, was my Tissot. The hands still read 1 a.m. while the sweep second hand was at the 20 seconds position. My watch was gone from the night table. There were many other phenomena that occurred in London, but these were things Yuri had done before and that I have already described elsewhere. I returned to New York on November 2, 1972. Yuri and Shippy stayed on in London and returned to Munich on November 4. As they were flying over the area of Schoenfurt in a Boeing 747, Yuri saw that the Nikon F camera at his feet had levitated to his waist level. The camera had Kodachrome film in it and a 150mm lens. Yuri felt that this was a sign for him to photograph a UFO. He looked out of his window. Neither he nor Shippy saw anything. It was a clear sky with scattered clouds below the plane. Yuri started to take pictures anyway, pointing the camera out the window. This film was not processed until some 3 weeks later. On 5 of the film frames there could be seen very clear dark outlines of 3 UFOs, but more of the details later. On November 6, 1972, Yuri, Shippy, and Melanie arrived in the United States and came to stay at my home in Ossining, New York. We were finally again assembled in one place without distractions, to begin our serious work. On Tuesday, November 7, the four of us were having breakfast in the dining room. The dining room has a large bay window facing east looking out onto a block-long private driveway. The opposite side of the dining room faces west and has a door to the kitchen. Lying in the kitchen doorway was my black Labrador retriever, who was named Wellington because of all of his fights with my giant black cat, Napoleon. Shippy and I had our backs to the bay window, facing Wellington and the kitchen. Yuri and Melanie, with their backs to the kitchen door, faced us, the bay window, and the driveway. At 10:05 a.m. Yuri turned around in his chair and looked at Wellington and said, "Why is Wellington afraid and trembling now?" We all looked at Wellington, who looked back at us with a shy eye. I said, "There is a mystery about that dog. He appeared one day and adopted me." Just then the telephone rang. As I rose to answer it, heading for the kitchen phone which was nearest, Wellington was suddenly gone. As I stepped through the empty doorway, which had just been occupied by Wellington, the phone rang a second time. Then Uri said, "Look, what is that dog doing down the driveway?" I looked down the driveway. And there, about 70 yards away, was Wellington, trotting toward the house. The phone rang a third time and I picked it up. It was the Reverend Canon William Rouska calling me. While I was on the phone talking, Yuri, Shippy, and Melanie went to the front door and called to Wellington. He entered the house reluctantly. I finished the phone call in a few minutes, and then inspected Wellington carefully. He seemed to have come back in exactly the same condition as when he had left. This demonstration of the power of Hoover made a lasting impression on all of us. We now fully realized that it was possible to translocate a living thing with safety. I now turned to a pursuit of some basic questions that were bothering me. I was concerned with the question of whether man could understand how his brain was built, and, with some structural knowledge, could the higher powers of the mind be developed and explained. I wanted to know how Ari's brain and mind were different from other people's, and if a normal person could ever hope to have such powers as Ari's. As the problem developed, I was told by Is, the ultimate powers, whether on the particle level or the cosmic level, are in rotation and drawing off of the gravitation power from the center of the system. There are special rays, which you should spell Rors, where the skin of the envelope of the cosmic rays is utilized for power. The computerized beings in space vehicles draw on this energy. This rotation energy can be used from outside the galaxy. It does not exist in a usable form at the particle level. The computerized beings are under the direction of the controller, or what Earth man calls God, or gods. In the future this general idea would be formulated in rigorous mathematical language. I was puzzled, as people have been since the beginning of time, as to the nature of the soul. I was given a new concept which was to imagine that all souls are like a vase, that is, a physical pot. Each vase soul exists in a rotational, gravitational field. When one perturbs the vase soul, wavelets go out into the universe field. It is very much like dropping a pebble in water, wavelets will radiate outward. The perturbation of the vase soul in the rotational gravitational field is experience. But I needed a deeper knowledge and sought to make a contact and communication via the tape recorder. On Wednesday, November 8, 1972, a strange ashtray and a brass key appeared before Rory and me at 10:31 a.m. This seemed to be a sign, so we set up the tape recorder and waited for it to be activated. When the tape mechanism was activated, there was a surprise, a new voice sounded, "This is Rhombus 4D. People. For your own sake, after writing it, destroy the tape completely because we do not want to vanish it for you. App, I promise to do that. We are all very happy to be together again and in America. Yuri is happy, Shippy is happy, I am happy. This is the first time we feel that our work together is about to begin. Our learning period in Israel, in Germany, it seems, is over. Yuri and I are having a difference of opinion over how best to manage him as an artist, and how best to develop him in view of your plans for him as a witness. I present our problem. I feel that Yuri should be accepted by mankind as a person who is honest, trustworthy, and has genuine powers. I can only do this by going to science, as one of the few objective credible groups in the world today, and have them validate him. This will avoid trouble and friction and possibly another crucifixion. How would you like to have me develop him with respect to his relation with science and scientists, and with man in general? We shall tell you exactly how. Do you know that in 6,000 million years the sun is going to cool off completely? Earth man will have to leave to a different planet. Now all about Yuri. We are tuned on every movement, and every thought, and we do give you signs. And you can see, hear, feel it. Yuri must not go into any scientific research. Reasons will be given very soon to you why. He can meet any scientists that you wish, socially, friendly, that is all. Although Ari himself in his body has great conflicts with this thought against us, but we have to do it this way. Yesterday at the table we have made your dog dematerialize, and you have seen it in front of you. There is a reason for that also. App. Could you please explain? Not now. We are talking about experiments with Uri. If that will not happen, you yourself judged and said that you will have to take the hard way. And that is the way that we order you to take for your own good sake. And now, Many a time you wonder, Andrea Puharich, if you are protected by us or are vulnerable? Did you ever recall us telling you that you were protected?
App, yes.
When was that?
App, in Israel, I asked you about it.
You said nothing could happen to me physically, only some scares.
Yes, nothing could happen to you physically during that period of time.
Now, Andrea Puharich, we are using you because you also determine and possess powers that we don't. As you see, Yuri is sometimes afraid of things that might happen.
App, yes.
That still surprises me. And he is doing the right thing because you have to take care of your own bodies. Do not be surprised, but things can happen. You see, although our computers are caught up onto your brain every second, that is, by using direct powers, but to detail a sufficient protection on your body, that takes a several, Mr. Word that sounds like reach, time to arrive around your bodies. Anything that can happen spontaneously can harm you. So all we can do is do these things and give you signs. We gave you signs for two different reasons lately, and we shall state them A and B. A. We have sent someone to steal your ticket. You see, he could have shot Tori and Shippy if they were in the room. That was a lesson. B. The lesson that you will lose and use more was, you are, and you might be, in a little, as you call it, jam with scientists. Do you understand?
App, yes.
Anything can happen to you while our gens are arriving. By the time you think right now that we can move anything that we want, and fly objects around and disappear things, that is not done spontaneously. Don't you realize that you live in a space of no time? All these things are planned ahead by computers, or head device. Don't you see an ashtray and a key appeared right now?
App, yes, I did.
To your own timeless situation, that means to you there is time. It looks like it happened right now, spontaneously, immediately, straightforward. But that is wrong. For us, that was planned hundreds of light years ago, Andrea. For one little ashtray, anything that can happen to you, any third body, concerning, can damage that plan that arises by data.
App, there is a time lag between when something is happening here, and when you can respond properly.
Exactly. But there is more to it. If you notice, Andrea, there is a different computer talking to you right now.
App, yes, I was aware.
It is a different, authoritative, sharper one. We call it Rhombus 4D. Don't forget that. This computer also covers different aspects in thoughts, on different letters of tone that you consider in your dimensions. Now, Andrea, do not forget, to you it looks like we are supermen and can do anything.
App, yes, from our frame of reference.
Didn't you ever stop to think that if we could do everything, we would not use your brains?
App, yes, we recognize that, which is why we call ourselves donkeys.
Do not call yourselves donkeys. For all you know we are computers, and your flesh, blood, and soul that has long passed our times. We receive messages and control from the higher power above us. Go ahead with questions.
App, with respect to time, is there a time lag between my speaking and your response?
Yes, Andrea Puharich. If you consider it in your time theory down on your Earth, it is approximately 1.5 million light years away.
App, from where Rhombus 4D is?
Exactly.
App, and this takes time?
It does not take time for us, but it does for you. Don't you see that in one little point on their way, Ikdamash Hallows, unknown word, into different aspects of dimensions where you are lost completely, and we take over? That point where powers gather through, that is the main channel of tuning into your worlds which exist more.
App, time simultaneity with time difference vanishing?
Not quite so. Time gatherance does not vanish. Don't you see that space with energy rotation around it excludes the time question? And that time or space we gather in and use also. So that word that you said, vanish, is also being used up by our works. That will be very difficult for you to understand. But time will come, we hope, and you will come to understand outside circumstances that you need to understand, not more than you need to understand.
App, this is fair enough. I would like to return to the earlier stated restriction, we can meet with scientists only socially. Very socially. You can go ahead as planned. App, can Uri do tasks in which his work is photographed?
No. We have always prevented him from working with scientists, Technion, Max Planck Institute, the Wiseman Institute. You are the only scientist who has been allowed to do laboratory work and experiments with him as in Sharon Heights. You are the only one who is in this cosmic triangle.
App, we did not discuss the other part of my problem, how to develop Uri as an artist. Andrea Puharage, what you do with Uri, judge for yourself. Do anything that produces energy, good works.
App, if Uri appears at a sport event in a stadium where many thousands are gathered, does this produce energy?
Doesn't work. Molecules in brain cells are only positively open when excitement is not strong. Normal excitement overcomes the vibration to our powers. Brain should be in a very relaxed state to receive messages from us. For example, sexual excitement is a little, not strong enough for us. We do not exactly mean relaxation. It is a very deep knowledge.
App, in Israel I saw Uri create entranced audiences in small groups.
Is this what you mean?
Yes, that is the idea. Even if Uri plays in a film, it will be the same effect.
Wellington has to be around you for testing.
App, what is the status of your advice that we use Israel as a base?
No, do not live there. Use it only for little assignments. Don't ask questions that you can solve for yourself. We shall be soon together.
Destroy tape. Farewell.
App, farewell. There were too many matters discussed in this conversation for me to comment on all of them. But I wish to tell of my feelings in one area. The prohibition about scientific work for Uri troubled me deeply. I felt that Uri was to make his way in the world by simple demonstrations. He would always be treated like a juggler, a magician. Since he also had to deliver the message about the landing, how could he ever become credible? If he tried to give the message about the landing, he would fail because no one would listen, or he would fail because he would be crucified. His mission and his life were in jeopardy, in my view, if he tried to go ahead without being validated by science. I made up my mind to take the Promethean course and plead to allow Uri to do scientific work in order to be validated. I dare not tell all of what happened on Thursday, November 9th, but I will share glimpses. I argued with Uri in an effort to persuade him to try to get permission for research. He got angry and threw a sugar bowl at me. I uttered a curse against the gods. The wind came up around the house, the trees swayed, the house rocked. Then a tall grandfather clock was impelled across the entrance hall and smashed into 1,000 pieces. Uri, Melanie, Shippy and I huddled together, waiting for the wrath of heaven to take us away. Uri begged me to repent and to give up the idea of scientific work. I said I would rather place myself at the mercy of the gods than live without my principles. The minutes ticked by like bombs. This is all that I care to say of these dreadful hours. After the crash of the clock, there was no sign or word from above, only an ominous silence. Before nightfall I got Uri to agree to fly with me to San Francisco on the following day, November 11th, so that we could tell the waiting scientists that the research program was off. Uri offered to assume all the responsibility for terminating the arrangements. Uri and Shippy used a bedroom on the third floor of the house. They were awakened from sleep by the noise of two window shades suddenly being released, rolling up with a bang. This was followed by a short silence, and then they heard a powerful voice in the room, "Rhombus 4D, Andrea must write a book." Again an eerie silence as they listened expectantly. When nothing more happened, they came downstairs to waken me. It was 2 a.m. They told me the story and hugged me, "Andrea, they want you to write a book. That means the secret of their existence is to be revealed." I thanked them for the great tidings and thanked God for the mercy shown to a brash fool. In the same morning of November 11, 1972, we prepared to leave the house to be driven to the airport. Wellington, who loved to ride in cars, insisted on going with us. Uri tried gently to persuade him otherwise. Wellington bit Uri's right wrist with a mighty snap that drew blood and caused great pain. It all seemed to add to our burden in flying out to California to deliver the bad news. Chapter 8, The Battle for the Truth.